Picking up our study today in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6, right where we left off. And the Bible says, "So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim." Must seem odd for David's men to fight against Israel, but that's what was going on. I'm sure it seemed strange, but right is right, and sometimes doing right comes with mixed feelings. 7. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. 20,000 killed in one day. That's not a battle, that's a bloodbath. You know, but the Bible says, be sure of this. The wicked will not go unpunished, and this is what you're seeing, an absolute slaughter. 8. For the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Trying to maneuver and fight in that thick woods with all the underbrush must have been a nightmare for these troops. As they saw so many of their friends die, must have felt like they were trapped in a maze. It's hard to run in a woods. Especially if somebody's swinging a sword at you and you're trying to defend yourself. 9. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth tree, and his head caught in the terebinth. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule, which was under him, went on. You know, years of planning went into this rebellion of Absalom. You're talking about years. He took his time. He was very patient and steadfast in following his plan. He probably checked and double-checked to make sure his plan was just right, you know, and he had covered all bases. And then his head gets caught in a low-hanging branch of what would be an oak tree. How in the world do you plan for something like that? You can't. But God sometimes uses the little unexpected things to bring the plans of an evil person to a screeching halt. And sometimes he uses the little unplanned, unforeseen things of his people to bring good things to pass for them. 10. Now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "I just saw Absalom hanging in a terebinth tree. And I don't think this guy knew what to do with an enemy hanging in an oak tree, especially if that enemy is the king's son. He wouldn't kill him because of the king's command. And if he helps him down, it's going to turn into an one-on-one thing, you know." So he goes and tells Joab, figuring he'll know what to do. And sometimes we think those who should know what to do, but they don't. And that will be the case here. 11. So Joab said to the man who told him, "You just saw him. And why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt." And belt was something that was worn by a commissioned officer. Joab is saying, if you would have killed Absalom, I would have made you an officer. You would have got a raise in pay. It would have been great for you. 12. But the man said to Joab, "Though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom.' Doing the right thing is more important than money or promotion." That's the way this man saw it. Convictions of right and wrong is one thing that makes us different than the animals. Going by God's standard of morality instead of instinct and appetite is something that separates human beings created in God's image from animals. 13. He says, otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life, for there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me. He says, sure, Joab, you want me to disobey the king, but if I got caught, then it's every man for themselves. You're not going to stand by me, and you know it. And by the way, that's what it always boils down to. Someone can entice you to sin, but when it's over, you're the one who feels the guilt, and you are the one who will pay. 14, then Joab said, I cannot linger with you. And he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart while he was still alive in the midst of the terebinth tree. And the 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck and killed him. Joab is out of line. He goes with his feelings instead of what the king commanded. He did it when he murdered Abner, the commander of the north, against the wishes of the king, and here he does it again. This guy, he was a loose cannon. You never knew what he was going to do. 16, so Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. Joab knew that the rebellion was over because the organizer was dead. Absalom was dead, and evil cannot flourish if there's no one to coordinate it. 17. And they took Absalom and cast him into a very large pit in the woods and laid a very large heap of stones over him. Then all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Absalom ends in disgrace. He had won the hearts of the people through flattery, but the rebellion did not last because it was not of God. We should hate evil, and we should hate it when it succeeds, but we should not let it frustrate us. Don't let evil steal your faith in God. It's not worth getting all shook up over because it's going to lose in the end. Eventually, it always does. 18. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's Monument. Absalom set up some rocks, named the pile after himself, so that the people who saw it will remember that once upon a time there was a guy called Absalom. And no doubt, thousands of people have seen that rock pile, and guess what? Who cares? Who cares? A pile of rocks isn't much of a legacy. What we want to take with us to our graves are good works for the glory of Jesus Christ, because at least the Lord is going to say, well done. Anything you leave behind here on earth is not much of a legacy. 19. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run now and take the news to the king, how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead. Ahimaaz was young and enthusiastic. He saw the good in what happened, but he didn't see the bad. He was all excited about David winning, but he was insensitive to how hurt David would be when he found out that his son was dead. So if he runs up to David with a big smile on his face and announces that Absalom is dead, that's not going to be a good thing. See, he didn't have the wisdom. He was too young and foolish. Enthusiasm always needs to be tempered with wisdom, and that wisdom often comes with ages. With age, I should say. Verse 21. Then Joab said to the Cushite, go tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. Verse 22. And Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." And now you see why Joab wouldn't let Ahimaaz go. He doesn't care what happens. He just wants to do it. Ahimaaz is like a loose garden hose with the water turned on full blast. He is loaded with enthusiasm, but no aim. No aim. Enthusiasm with no aim, you can bet there's going to be trouble. Last part of verse 22. So Joab said, "Why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready?" Evidently, Joab thinks that before a job is worth doing, there must be some kind of material reward offered. I mean, you're not going to get a reward for doing this. And of course, that's not true. I mean, you don't need a material reward to make a job worth doing. Not true. At least it wasn't true for this young man. The pleasure he would get from telling David that he won this war would be enough reward for him. He thinks that, anyway. He thinks that's the way it is. Verse 23. "But whatever happens," he said, "let me run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. His begging wore Joab down. And that is bad leadership. If something is bad for someone, and therefore the one in charge says no, they should not change their mind and say yes simply because a person begs or keeps hitting on them. Please, please, please. If it's bad, it's bad. It should be no, and that should be the end of the discussion right there. Don't change your mind for any reason. 24. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. And I don't know how David makes the leap from he's alone to that means he's got news, and in fact, good news. But he does. He makes that leap. I don't think God's people should be pessimists. But that kind of empty-headed optimism isn't biblical either. And it's especially bad if one starts making decisions based on wishful thinking. Then the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There's another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." There is no connection between a man being alone and good news. But David wants good news so bad that he will force a connection in order to give him reason for hope. Lots of people live in non-reality in order to give themselves a sense of hope for eternity. And that's what it is. It's non-reality. Because they don't want to live in hopelessness, but they don't want to change their way. But you know, any security that isn't derived from the Holy Bible is just wishful thinking. It's going to fall flat, I should say, the second you die. And then what are you going to do? It's too late. 27. So the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and comes with good news." So, here he is. This has got to be good news. I'm telling you, he's a good man. Therefore, he's bringing good news. Like every person who ever delivered bad news did so because they were a bad person. Or the only thing a good person can say is things that will make others happy. There are people who think that way. They don't want to hear anything negative, even if it's true. And if you say unpleasant things, they're not going to like you, or they're going to say you're mean-spirited. But again, that's not living in reality. So we're going to see what happens next time.